Have you ever seen that before? Not that picture, but have you ever seen that, what the picture depicts before? Driving down the road, it's hot, sunny, not a cloud in the sky. You're not driving down the interstate or whatever. And you look and it's like, wow, that road looks what? Wet. I can remember when I was just a kid, riding in the back seat of my mom and dad's car. And, you know, we didn't wear seatbelts in those days. We didn't wear seatbelts in those days, and somehow we survived. And I was sitting up, kind of like in the middle, fighting with my brother, I'm sure, and looking, leaning on the front, the bench seat, right? Because you didn't have bucket seats either in those days. Leaning up on the edge of the back of the seat, looking down the road. And I said, wow, look how wet the road is. It must be raining like crazy up there. But I don't see any clouds. Dad, how'd that road get wet if there's no clouds? And of course, you know, my dad just trying to give me a hard time. Said, well, you know, sometimes you don't always see the clouds when it rains. They're up there. It's raining like crazy somewhere because you can see how wet the road is. I said, oh, all right. If you believe it, that's okay, I guess. But, I'm not sure I'm buying that. And so we're driving along. And then I noticed that as we got to the part that used to look wet, it was now what? It was dry. Huh. How'd it dry so fast? Wait a minute. If you look even further, now that's wet. And so then I really started to pay some attention. And it was like, well, it's wet until we get there. Then it's dry. But as the car's going forward, you can look and see it's staying wet way up there. But as we get to it, it dries. It's like it's wet and it dries. It's wet and it dries. It's wet and it dries. It's wet. It depends on where the car is. And finally, my mom just couldn't take it any longer. She said, it's not raining. What's wrong with you, boy? It's not raining. It's hot. And it's the sun heating the asphalt. And because we're so far away, the angle of your sight is so low that you're seeing the heat come off the asphalt and it makes it look wet. That's all it is. The closer you get, the angle sharpens because you're looking right in front of the car and it looks dry. That's all it is. Now, I sat back down and I thought, well, now you know, that sounds pretty good. Is she smarter than my dad? Now, I didn't voice that. I'm not stupid completely. I didn't voice that. I thought, is she smarter than my dad? And so I had to decide whether that road was really wet or if it was really dry. Because my eyes told me, man, it must be raining cats and dogs up there. And I don't know how it happens, but somehow, poof, it dries as soon as we get close to it. That's amazing. So we're going to look at that. We're going to look at, take the text, we're going to break it down into three segments. We're going to look at Jesus' purpose statement. If you never knew Jesus had a purpose statement, he has a purpose statement. He says it in here. Then we're going to look at Jesus and the Pharisees, or the ones who cannot see, even though they think they can. And then Jesus and the blind man, the one who what? Could see. So we're going to look at all three of those, and then we're going to bring it all back together, I hope. And then let you determine if the road is wet or if it's dry, whichever one it may be for you. So here we go. His purpose statement. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world. Why did he come? Judgment. We said, well, I thought he came to die on a cross. Yes, he did. For our salvation. And part of the process of that salvation is to reveal the judgment. He came, I came for judgment into this world. And we say, well, you know, wait a minute. Whoa. That doesn't make sense because we know that later, gazillions of years from now, there's going to be this big judgment where all the folks get to come and stand in front of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. Is that what he's talking about? Or is this like that Old Testament stuff where God just kind of whacked people for whatever reason? Is that what he's talking about? And it's like, no. This, when he says this judgment, this is not like I'm going to come in speaking of the day when this was written. Yes, that day, then he's going to say, well, listen, I'm going to judge this blind guy who can now see, and I'm going to whack him if he's been bad. No, 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 he's not talking about that. He's not talking about that kind of immediate judgment like we do to ourselves and each other, yes? He's not talking about that. He's saying, you know, the judgment I'm going to bring when this takes place, and for you and I through the Holy Spirit, because you got to think in two different time zones, if you will be a judgment that reveals the need, because all of us have a need, and the opportunity to look inside our hearts to see what's in it. That's the judgment I'm going to bring. That's the judgment that is taking place in the story. Because if you recall the stories between what we did last week and this week, those were all the dialogues taking place. And they can't believe that this is the guy who used to be blind, but now he can see. And then you get the parents, and they can't answer any of the questions because they don't want to get thrown out of the temple or the synagogue. And so they have this big debate ongoing, ongoing, and it's all a matter of what they believe based on what they see. Is the road wet or dry? Some of the Pharisees said, it's got to be wet. It looks wet. Some of the other Pharisees said, too sure. Could be dry. Could be dry. The judgment is to provoke us to look inside ourselves. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul writes that we give thanks to God for sending Christ Jesus, who opens the eyes of our hearts that they may be enlightened. What'd he say? He said, we're thankful that God sent Jesus to provoke us to look into our own hearts and allow ourselves the process of seeing what we believe. Either the road is wet or the road is dry, but we have to make a decision. So we thank God for sending the Son to do that. So, okay, well, you got that part. What's the reason for the judgment? What's the reason? Why? He says, well, I've come into the world so that the blind will see. Now, he's not talking about blind guy anymore with his eyes. He's talking about spiritual blindness, spiritual sense of being blind to what's taking place in people's lives spiritually. I've come to provoke the hearts of humanity that they would look into themselves and will choose to see what they need to see, whether the road is wet or the road is dry, so that the blind will see. Well, see what? And say, well, the answer to that question should probably be that they would see that Jesus is the Messiah. Yes. Oh. That he's going to die on the cross. Yes. But if you think back to last week, and maybe even a week before that, and a week before that, one of the things we've continued to say is belief that the Father sent the Son. Because when we believe that the Father really sent the Son, that becomes the foundation of all of our beliefs, and it becomes the antidote against sin in our lives, that the Father sent the Son. And if we really, 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 really believe that the Father sent the Son, then it changes our perspective in life. It's the foundation of all that we believe. And when I think about going somewhere and stealing a pen last week, if I truly believe that the Father sent the Son, I won't take the pen. I won't touch it. So he says, I'm here to provoke your hearts to see what you really believe. And, this is the hard part, that those who see will become blind. Now, wait a minute. So he's saying he wants all the seeing Pharisees to be blind. Blind? No, 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 no. Not this blind in your heart. That those who see will become blind. Still talking about spiritual sight and what they choose not to see. The road is dry. Will they choose to see it dry? Or will they hang on to the fact it looks wet and therefore it is wet? I say, well, see what? Same answer. Will these folks look into their hearts to see if God really sent the Son? Will they do that? Because they're choosing to see only what they want to see. And if they continue to see what they shouldn't see, he hopes they become blind. They become blind to what they've chosen to see. So you say, okay, this is really confusing. Just let's make this easy. Pharisees, see the asphalt? Yes, we do. Is it wet or is it dry? And they say, well, it looks wet. You say, no, that's dry. It's a stupid thing with the sun and the angles and all that stuff and the asphalt. Now forget the fact they don't know what asphalt is. That's irrelevant. But you're working with, you're trying to work with them. And they say, no, we can't go there because it's wet. We can see it's wet. It's obvious this is wet. So Jesus is saying, okay, they're choosing to say the road is wet. I came to stimulate and provoke their hearts, and that those who see and will not see what they should see, but see only what they choose to see, even though I can prove the road is dry, they'll become blind. Blind to what they're choosing when what they choose is wrong. And when they become blind, don't let me lose you, stick with me. When they become blind, you know what happens? That the blind will see now. That the blind will see. Who? The Pharisees! The Pharisees! The road's not wet, it's dry. You guys, walk down there and touch it. It'll burn your finger, it's so hot. It won't get your finger wet. I've come to bring judgment in a man's heart so that even if he chooses to see what's wrong, he'll become blind to it and begin to see what he should really see. What he should really see. So judgment is all about allowing us to see deep in our hearts what we believe. What we believe. So we take that and we say, okay, let's look at the Pharisees now, because they're such an interesting group of guys. What about the Pharisees? They hear all this kind of stuff, and they say to him, well, listen. I mean, come on, man. Surely, you know what I'm saying? You're not saying we're blind, right? I mean, come on. Look at us. Cool robes, cool hats, cool rings. Come on. You would imply that we're blind. Now, you see, if they had said to Jesus, are we blind? That's a yes or no question. But they asked the question in such a way to indicate that they believe the answer is going to be what? Oh, of course not. Not you guys. Come on. Not you guys. You guys are never going to be blind. No, but that's not the answer they get. The answer they get is even more confusing. He just should have said, whatever, instead of giving us all this confusing stuff. But here's what he says. If you were blind, you would not have sin. Okay. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. So that makes absolutely no sense at all. That's the craziest thing we've ever heard. So we're going to look at them one at a time and just stick with me. Whether you believe it or not, go home, look it up. You come back, tell me I'm wrong. Then I'll listen to you. But here we go. If you were blind, he's not saying to them, if you are blind to me, you would have no sin. He's just saying, if you were totally and completely spiritually blind, you'd have no sin. In other words, if you guys look down the road and you can't tell if it's wet or dry, it's like glossy and fuzzy and we can't really tell because we don't know about rain and we don't know about angles and heat and sun. It's just there, but we really can't discern what's there. He would say, you can't tell, so therefore you have no sin. You say, well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I agree. But listen to this. This is Romans something or other. 7:7. Romans 7:7. Paul. Go read Romans. What a great writing. What then should we say? That the law is sin? Oh, by heaven's sakes, no. Yet, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. What he say? Is the law sin? No. But it's because of the law that I know what sin is. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet. So what's he saying? He's saying, listen, if y'all don't know, you don't know. If y'all don't know, you don't know. And say, oh, I got to think about that. That sounds a little goofy. Well, I fill out my income tax paper, which we'll all be doing soon. And I make a mistake. Oh, it's an honest mistake. It's an honest mistake, for heaven's sakes. And I send it in. I sign Kipton. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Kipton, don't leave. Kipton B. Younger. And I underline it and I put an explanation mark behind it. And 10 years from now, I get a phone call. Is this Kipton B. Younger? Yes, it is. This is the IRS. No, it's not. Hang on. Do you remember 10 years ago when you filled out your tax reform? I can't remember 10 minutes ago, but sure I do. Sure, of course I do. And I just happen to have that tax reform form in my back pocket, and I pull it out because I was going to do something with it that day probably. And they say, you marked such and such. I said, that's right. And then you signed that document. I said, you better believe I did. I said, Kipton B. Younger. And he said, well, Kipton B. Younger, guess what? You have violated the law. I said, whoa, 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 Jack, I didn't violate nothing. You kidding me? I didn't know that. And they would say, oh, you didn't know? No? They said, oh, forget it then. No big deal. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. They would be on me like, well, never mind. They would just be all over you. Because, see, in the law, ignorance is no excuse, because if it was an excuse in the law we live by, then everybody doesn't know anything, and we all do what we want to do until you get to stand before the judge. So we're not talking about law. We're talking about spirituality. If for some goofy reason my mom and my dad never stressed the point to me that taking something that doesn't belong to you, you nitwit, is wrong, then I would grow up thinking, what? Take whatever you want. No big deal. No big deal. Take whatever you want. If it's laying around, grab it. It belongs to someone else. Who cares? If you were blind, you had no sense of right and wrong, you'd have no sin. You would have sin, but you wouldn't know it's sin. Let's get off of that. Let's go to the easier part. But now you say, oh, we see. We see. We can see. Sure. We got you. We see what you're saying. We know what we believe in Yahweh. Then they're defiantly seeing what they choose and not opening their hearts to the presence of Christ. And they're saying to him, that road is as wet as it can be. We ain't buying no nonsense about the sun and the angles and the asphalt. It's wet. We know it's wet. We're standing by. We'll die. That road is wet. And Jesus says, you know what? Forget it. Your sin remains. Forget it. Y'all go home, get some lunch. Your sin remains. So what about the guy who is blind and now can see? Blind man's been cast out. Jesus goes, hunts him down. Runs into him. He says, hey, come here. Do you believe in the Son of God? And the blind man's like, well, let's see. Yahweh, and Yahweh's going to send the Messiah, and we don't know when, but we know he's coming, so yeah, I do. And he says, well, who is he that I can believe in him? And Jesus says, you're looking at him. This morning you couldn't have seen me, but I opened your eyes. You're looking at me now, baby. I'm it. I'm it. Doesn't my voice sound familiar to you from this morning when you couldn't see squat? Yes, it does. I'm it. And the guy says, oh, then I believe. Then I believe. You see, Jesus says, look into your heart, man. Is the road wet or is it dry? And he's thinking, oh, no, I've never seen a road. I don't know the answer to this question. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Dry. Yes. It's dry. Yes. You got the right answer. Yes. Because you can see as you're supposed to see. If you really look into this conversation, it's great. It says, what the world has cast out, Jesus seeks. And that's good for you and me. Because whatever the world has cast upon us, Jesus seeks us to help us through it. Whatever you're dealing with, if it's an IRS, God bless you. May God have mercy on your soul. But Jesus is there when you made the mistake, when you signed the paper. He's there today. He's there when the phone call is made from the wonderful IRS. And he'll be with you the whole 10 or 15 years that you get to go away for. He'll be with you that whole time. So he's always there. So whatever the world has cast upon you, he seeks you to be with you, to save you. And to save you is to ask you the question of belief. Do you believe? And the asking the question of belief is to reveal the judgment. He's simply saying to us, do you believe? It's a yes or no question. Do you believe that the Father sent the Son? Do you believe that the road is wet or is the road dry? Which one do you believe? Well, his judgment is to provoke within our hearts this hunger and this desire to look. To look. What do I believe? I think it's dry, but it's so wet looking. So what's it really look like? Look at his answer. He said, do you believe? He said, show it to me. Maybe I will. He said, I'm the one. He said, I believe. And he worshiped him. Ooh, that's big too. That's real important. He said, I believe. He said, in my heart, now that I can see you and I can wipe the stuff off my eyes, I believe. I believe that the Father sent you. You are the Son. I believe it. And then on the other side is what he did. You see, the heart responded, and then so did his life respond, and he fell down and he began to worship him. He began to worship him because the heart believed the Father sent the Son, and the mind and the body responded. In Romans 10:9, Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, stop right there. That's the action. That's the action. That's what you do. You confess with your mouth and by the way you live your life that Jesus is Lord. And if you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Well, who else is God going to raise from the dead but his very own boy? Then you're saved. You got it. You got it. The road's dry as it can be. It may look wet, but we know better. It's dry. So what does it really look like? It looks like your heart and your mind. And they come together. Now, I got to tell you, I think, and I don't know much about this stuff, but I think that in 99% of the time, our heart has dominion over our brains. That we think, and thus we act, and can, and this is hopeful. I'm speaking hopefully. We act in conjunction with or determined by what our hearts feel. Does that make sense? Say yes. Yes, of course it does. Now, there's always those instances, not us, where we would act or say something inappropriate to what we feel in our heart. Don't raise your hands if you've ever done that before. Don't raise your hands because that's not us. But when I've done that, my heart's screaming, stop, stop, stop. Don't say that. Don't do that. Stop, you nitwit. Stop, 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 stop. My mind is like, oh, just go ahead. That road is as wet as it can be, baby. Don't worry about it. Just go do it. Go do it. Go do it. Enjoy it. And I always get in trouble because of it. Because I didn't listen to my heart. He says in the heart that we celebrate a life of worship, that we believe that the Father really sent the Son. And it's by our thought and our words and our deeds that we reveal that. Ooh. It's by what I think that reveal is revealed by what's in my heart. And if I really believe the Father sent the Son, and I know that that road is as dry as it can be, no matter what it looks like in my eyes, I got it. I've got it. And whatever I say, whenever I say anything, must say the road is dry. I know it looks wet, but in my heart, I know it's dry. And I speak because I know the Father sent the Son and the road is dry, and I believe it. And whatever I do, this is where I get into so much trouble. Whatever I do, it's got to be the deeds that reflect that I believe the Father sent the Son and the road is absolutely what? Dry. Dry. It's dry. And that's how you and I live our lives. By our thoughts, our words, our deeds, coming from a mind that's provoked and stimulated by a heart that's been deeply provoked by the judgment of the Holy Spirit that lives in the heart and continually ask us over and 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 over, what do you believe? What do you believe? Did the Father send the Son or not? Is the road wet or is it dry? What do you believe? And then we go out, as you're going to do in just a few moments, and we live it. We live it. You know, there are so many folks that even though they know better and they know the road is dry, they live their lives like it's as wet as it could be. They just don't seem to get it or care about it. And that's why you and I are charged with the responsibility to live our lives. Thought, word, deed. Road is dry. He did send a Son. And that's the way we live our lives. Praise be to God that we can do that and be such a blessing to God. That's how we live our lives. Pray with me. We give you such thanks that deep in our hearts, there's a voice that speaks the truth. Some days it just has to scream the truth. And some days it's just so easy to hear that quiet little voice. It just constantly reminds us how we move through life. These little kids that sat up here this morning, they watch us. We may not know their names, and they certainly don't know our names, but they watch. They watch. They listen. Word, deed, the results of our thoughts. And they will follow. Thank you for hearts that worship you, that honor you, that we may model what we believe before all young hearts, and even some older hearts as well. We ask it in the name of Christ our Lord.